Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good evening, good evening. You are listening to Grounded. I am Pastor Corey Bush, talking to you live here from the Ferguson, St. Louis area, where I haven't been on talking to you in the last few days, but I'm back. I'm back. Good evening to everyone. So, we'll get right into it. We've had several events to happen over the, well, I won't say events, we've had several issues and some tragedies to happen over the last few days since the last time I've been on the air. So I'm going to do just what we do, which is give you the education from the ground, tell you the truth from the ground. So that's why the name of the show is called Grounded, GRUND.ED, ground truth, truth from the ground, education from the ground. So last week, for all the listeners that may not have known, we had a another police-involved shooting and caused a big, it was like a bomb went off in St. Louis again, because this young man, first of all, when we first got the word that the young man was killed, initially it went out that the young man was 15 years old. Then reports said that he was 13, you know, so it just shocked the city, you know, that someone that young was killed by police. And so, you know, immediately, you know, people took to the streets to try to get answers to find out what was going on, what happened. The young man's name is Mansur Ball Bay. And, It was just a tragedy. This young man was, what we were told was he was getting off of work, and he got off work, and then he went to be with some family members, and there's just a whole several different stories going around this situation, but mainly what I will say is I have spoken to different members of the family. I've talked to a few people that were there at the time of this shooting, and all of them were just horrified by what happened. The young man worked, and if you see the news reports, he worked for FedEx, and immediately the police and the media started to paint this young man as such a horrible person. As if that is the way to okay, like that is justification for killing someone, is because, you know, you feel that this person is a horrible person. Now, one thing I will say is I think that we also have to be careful about that, because my culture is different from, may be different from your culture, what I deem to be a bad thing or what I deem to be not the right thing to do, I guess, as far as society is concerned, may be different from your views. So we have to watch that as well, because just because you have the mic, or just because you have the camera, just because you have politicians behind you, or, you know, just because you have that name, does give you the right to say what society should do, what people should do, how they should walk and talk, how they should live. So with this young man, and I'm sorry if people hear stuff in the background. I'm actually driving. I'm on my way to an event, and I'll tell you about that as soon as I get there. But this young man, he turned out to be 18 years old. He's of the Moorish faith. He loved his family. His family is just amazing. They have all wrapped around everyone during this situation. It has just been something. But that day, I remember hearing the reports on the television, and at the time I was at work, and I couldn't even sit still in my chair because I'm hearing all these reports. I'm getting calls from my protest family, and the only thing I could think about was, what time am I off work? I have to get off work so I can get back out and so I can go see what's going on and tend to this family, see what I can do, and find out what is the deal with the police here in St. Louis and in Ferguson. So I remember when I arrived in the neighborhood, it was on a street called Walton, right at the intersection of Page, which is like a main thoroughfare in St. Louis City. And so it was right near the corner. And I remember going over there, parking my car. People were just all over the place. By the time I got there, it was just so many people were already there, just hurting. People were crying. People were upset. The young man's blood was still on the grass. And just in plain sight for you to see. And his 18-year-old baby. So I remember we were out, and we were just looking for answers. And that day, it was really, really strange because we were looking for answers. We didn't have any answers. We were hearing so many different reports. And that's one thing that I want people to understand is when stuff like this happens, especially right now with the officer-involved shootings, there are so many stories that begin to circulate so fast. Everybody's trying to get the answers. Since the tragedy with Mike Brown, everybody's trying to get the story first. Everybody wants answers. And so people are just pulling at stuff. And so people tend to make the truth out of just what they heard. And so much was just circling around. And so people had so many different stories and so many different reports and different news. If you turn on one news channel and then you turn on another, they have two different stories, and it was just so much. And so while we were out there, we just wanted those answers. And I remember standing there, and we were chanting, and people were crying, and some people were praying, and the mood was just really eerie. Because there was like it was like a question mark in the air, and I don't know how best to say it, but that's what it felt in my spirit. It was like a question mark, like what is about to happen. And I remember on my way there, I drove because the streets were cut off. But before I got there to the scene, I remember driving down this one street, and I saw the command center, the police command center. I just happened to drive to it, I guess, and there had to be about 60 police cars and tanks and everything just sitting there. The police were already in SWAT gear, and so I knew that they would come out at some point, you know. So while I was out, like I said, I'm going back to being out there on Page and the corner of Page and Walton in St. Louis City. And so while I was out there, and that question mark was in my spirit, like what's about to happen, because people were so on edge but hurting at the same time. And we decided, you know, we can't just stand here. We have to do something. We got to march. We got to make some noise. We got to shake the city, wake the city up. We got to do something. So we just all got together, and we just started to march. And I remember as we began to march, it was just so many people. We had cars, and people had signs, and people like myself. I put on my bandana I put my bandana on because it's a protection from if they mace us or if they tear gas us. It is a first line of protection, but also it's the idea of the fight. Of the revolution, you know. So many of us put our bandanas on, just letting it be known that we're fighting. You know, we came here to fight. We came here, you know. We didn't come here to be seen. We didn't come here for a camera. We didn't come here, you know, to show off or anything like that. We didn't come here to show you we know how to chant and we can shut stuff down. That's not why we're here. We're here because we are fighting this system. So. As we began to march, we started to march, and I remember passing by certain members of the family and the look on their faces as these, had to be a couple hundred people, maybe more, began to just all of a sudden just formed and started to march down the street and chant in unison, in solidarity. And what I mean by the solidarity is it wasn't just Black people. You know, we had members from the Palestinian solidarity with us. We had members from the Asian community, Asian solidarity with us, and so many others. We had the white allies with us. So it was so many. And this is an area of St. Louis City that is, well, you know, that's pretty known for violence, you know. And so, but all of these groups still came out to that spot. So anyway, so we were marching. We started to march, and the look on their faces was like, it was a thank you. You know, it was like a, oh my goodness, I can't believe that you all, you know, you don't even know us and you care that much about us. And, you know, it was just a reaction like, wow, they just heard about it and came to our rescue, you know, came to help. So we began to march through the streets, and we ended up marching up a street. Now, one thing about St. Louis is there is a street there. It's called Del Mar, and people talk about this. It's actually a documentary about this street, about the Del Mar Divide. One side of Del Mar is impoverished, is an impoverished area. The other side of Del Mar is a lot of rich people. I mean, literally, you step on one side of the street, it's one thing, the other side of the street, it's another. And so we crossed Del Mar into the side that is the wealthy side of Del Mar. And so when we did, people began to get really antsy and really nervous. And we actually weren't aiming to go that way. We just ended up making a turn, and we made a quick turn back out of that area because we weren't trying, that's not what we were trying to do at that moment, was disrupt what all they had. That wasn't our focus at that time. So we ended up making a right turn and coming out of that area and coming back down to where we were, just basically making a circle. But because we touched that area just for a brief moment, the police decided, you know, they wanted to shut us down. So by the time we came back and we ended up back at the corner of Page Avenue and Walton, the police had come out. And the police, they came out really quickly, and they came out really aggressively. When we looked up, now, mind you, there was no police out before we started to march. None. They were blocks away. When we finished this march and we came back to Page and Walton, all of a sudden, the police came out of nowhere. So many police cars. It was like a sea of police cars. You couldn't even see how many. There were tanks. The police immediately jumped out of their cars. I don't, you know what, I can't even say that. Let me take that back. I don't know. I didn't see them jump out of their cars. I just remember when I looked up, they had started to form the police line. Now, with this police line, usually the police line is in the street because they give you the sidewalk, because that's what they tell you. Get out of the street, onto the sidewalk. If you're in the street, you're impeding traffic and you will be arrested. Move onto the sidewalk. So they're in the street so you could have the sidewalk. Well, this particular day, they took up the sidewalk and the grass. So this is a 100, this particular part was basically 100% residential. It's like a corner store. Other than that, everything else was houses. So they were on to the right side of the street, houses, to the left side of the street, houses. They were on the grass where the houses were. The line went all the way across. I couldn't even tell you how many police it was. And then it was more than one row of police. It was a couple rows of police. And so when we looked at it, we were like, why are you being so aggressive? You know, what did we do, you know, that you have to put up this police line and shut us down, and then to block the sidewalks, because what do we have if you block the sidewalks? So we were all standing there, and some people was up in the street, you know, in the talking to the officers. As a matter of fact, there was this one man that walked up to the officers, and he said, he started to give a prophecy, he said. I don't remember what he, I didn't really even get to hear totally what he said, but he started to give a prophecy to the police officers. Well, they didn't like that. Now, as a matter of fact, he did not touch them. He did not raise his voice. He just walked up to them and said, let me tell you something. And he started to talk to them. And the way that the officers were looking and the way that they were nodding at each other, and we just knew something was about to happen. So I remember myself and the person that I was with, because I'm never out there alone. We started to move back, but we were watching what was going on, and immediately they just jumped from behind the other officers, the ones that were behind him, and came in and arrested him. And we were asking, why are you arresting him? He didn't do anything. He didn't do one thing. He didn't. And as a matter of fact, he was talking on the grass. He was not even in the street. So we couldn't figure out what he did wrong. So then that caused some problems initially, because it was, why are you arresting someone? He didn't do anything. And if you say impeding traffic, you are blocking the street, because the street's blocked off, because you have about 100 cars blocking the street and then a police line that crosses the street. So if that was the case, you know, you already blocking the street, but he wasn't even in the street to even use that. So that upset a lot of people. And then they just started to reach out and just started just running from behind the police line, running out, grabbing people and just arresting them. And we were asking, why are you arresting the people? This one young lady was arrested. It was her first time protesting, and she didn't even actually come out to necessarily protest. She came out to see what was going on and to even find out what the protest was about. You know, how do you protest? And I know the young lady, I was talking to her and her sister. And I just remember the next thing I knew was she was standing next to an older lady, and the older lady was having some difficulty walking or something. And so she was trying to assist the lady. The police were yelling, move back, move back, move back. They were just screaming, move back, move back. And so just to give you a visual, like I did the last time, I told you all how in the standoff, the police are facing you, you're facing them. And so there were several people standing there with this standoff with the police. So there are people behind you. So when the police just all of a sudden start to advance at one time and they start saying, move back, you're stepping on the people behind you because you're facing the police. If you can't turn your back, you really can't turn your back, because they can either grab you or do something to you from the back. So you have your eyes on them. So anyway, so then that caused this commotion as well. So this young lady was trying to help this older woman that could not just jump up and just start to move out of the police's way. And so she was saying, hold on, hold on. I'm trying to help this lady. She, you know, she can't walk that fast. She can't move that fast. They grabbed her, threw her on the ground, just tackled her. And it was more than two, just tackled her to the ground, took her by the back of her head and took her face and just was smashing her face into the gravel. Because at first she was in the grass, but by this time, you know, she was like in between the grass and the gravel, and smashing her face in. And then they were on her back, and they had their knees all in her back, you know, arresting her, and she didn't do anything. So then that caused even more of an issue. And so then you have the older lady that's like, you know, what are you doing? She was just trying to help me, you know. And so that, so all of those things, just they just kept happening. And so everybody was already upset. Everybody was on edge. Then you have these people that come, and we don't know where they're from. We don't know who they are. People are, we just don't know. One thing I will say is there were some rocks. Let me take that back. I didn't see rocks. I saw water bottles being thrown at the police, and the police just used the shields to block them. But when you harass people and you throw them down and you assault them, you know, so you started it that way, but then you got upset when someone threw a water bottle, not even a water bottle that was like, it wasn't even like a you know, like something that could hurt somebody. It was, you know, a tossed water bottle that went up in the air and came down. It wasn't even a thrown at a particular object. It went up in the air. They threw it up in the air. And so, but anyway, so then that caused just even more of a commotion. The police began to be really aggressive and then started to run and push. And that just kind of just went back and forth, back and forth. And then we heard pop. It was, I can't even really even describe the noise, because there were noises that I hadn't heard before. It was like pops and pops and pows, and I don't know. But we knew that something was being deployed. There was no, now, generally, when chemical munition is being deployed, there is a warning that goes out. There's supposed to be a warning that goes out, and they do it over a speaker so people can hear it. Well, this particular day, that did not happen. There was no one talking on a speaker, not one person. There was no dispersed call on a speaker for people to hear, to know to leave the area. None of that occurred. There was no speaker at all. Usually what we hear is, this is the St. Louis City Police, or this is St. Louis County Police. You know, this is an unlawful protest. Please disperse. Please disperse. If you do not disperse, you can be arrested. So we're used to hearing that. And none of that happened this particular night, this particular day, because it wasn't dark yet. So all of a sudden, and we didn't even notice that the tank was like close to us now. We didn't even notice that, because we were too busy looking at the person getting a face mask in the ground, and then all of that going on, the tussling, and so people stepping over each other trying to get away from the advancing police, and all of that was just happening so fast. And then when we all of a sudden you heard the pops, I remember I looked and I started to move out of the way, because I said, oh, those are probably smoke bombs first. Because they didn't announce it, it must be smoke bombs. Well, things went so fast. I don't know what it was, but so many different things ended up being shot at us. We began to run because it was just very aggressive. It was what I had not seen before. And as many days as I was out there getting tear gassed over the last year, in whether it was in Ferguson, in St. Louis County, or in St. Louis City, as many times as that has happened, I've never seen anything like this before. I did not know that the tanks could go as fast as they were going. And I know that many of you probably saw the video that was on Good Morning America and ABC News and some other outlets. The tank just jumped up, and I mean, the tank was going so fast. And so we were running, but because the person, that sniper person on top that's shooting the tear gas, because he was shooting so fast and the tank was going so fast, people were getting hit with the tear gas and all of the other stuff that they were deploying. It was like we were being chased. I remember running and the tank following me where I ran. I'm thinking it's a tank. It can't go that fast. Oh, it was going fast. I turned one way. The tank came that way. Turned the other way. Tried to duck another way. The tank was coming that way. And then not only the tank, he was turning wherever you went, shooting at you. And that's the thing. That's the part that we couldn't understand. You know, so if you're trying to have the people dispersed, so sending it a certain way, the people have to go further than. So if you shoot it a particular direction, the people have to go further than that to get away from it. But when you're shooting it to the left, to the right, to the front, to the side, if you're shooting it all around behind you, then where are you telling the people to go? Because you're sending it everywhere. And so I remember I was able to duck off, and the other person I was with, well, the few people that I was with, we were able to duck off and we were able to get away. But then we had people down. We had someone who had asthma, and she passed out, so she needed help. There was another person that had asthma. She didn't pass out, but she was on her way out. We had several people that had the tear gas in their eyes. We had a person that was hit by the tear gas canister, and their body was burned. And so it was just so many. So we were going back trying to help people. There was this one lady who was She was suffering from some kind of, I don't know, like a, maybe a developmental delay or something. I'm not sure. But she was having difficulty understanding that she needed to leave. She was just hurt from the tear gas, and she needed some help. So we went back to help her. And one of the people that went back to help her, when we moved away from the scene, she was still helping her. They came over and shot the tear gas right at them. And so instead of the girl being able to completely help the lady, she passed out. So she couldn't even help her anymore because she passed out because they hit so much tear gas at her. And then someone came and grabbed her, put her over a fence. And the thing is, she didn't even, because it was so much tear gas, she didn't even know what happened to the lady that she was trying to help. She couldn't even find her anymore because once she came to, she didn't know what happened to the other lady. And so I remember by this time it started, it was dusk and it started to get dark. So as we were helping people, they just kept coming back around. But then I remember a moment where I was thinking, okay, well, we're up this far. We're a few blocks up from the police line. So we should be safe to kind of help people up here. We were pulling out the milk and the Maalox and pouring water on people and taking people's clothes and, you know, and people were burning and hurting. And so we were helping. And then all of a sudden, the tank came down a side street so fast, a side street, not a main thoroughfare, a side street, a residential street. Pop, 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 pop. And you're just, and we were like, oh my goodness, it's coming down the street. So we began to run. And then the next thing we knew is we looked up, he was right there at us and shooting at us. Now, not only were those, the tear gas and all of those other things, I know you've probably seen online, it was probably 8 or 9 different things that was being shot at us that day. More than I had ever seen before, more variations, I'll say, than I'd ever seen before. But when you, so we had that being shot at us, but also the rubber bullets were being shot at us because we kept hearing them whizzing past our ears, you know, past our ears. So you're trying not to get in the way of the rubber bullets, but then you have this sniper that's chasing you, shooting tear gas at you, shooting at people, literally at people. The tear gas even went on people's porches while they were sitting outside. There's pictures of that online. And so we were wondering, where in the world do we go? You know, you're chasing us. And then I remember this particular one, when after he shot it at us, I remember thinking, I saw him out of the corner, out of my peripheral vision, starting to turn the tank to the right to go back up the street the opposite direction. And I remember thinking, oh, yes, okay, he's turning. We can get away. What I didn't realize was he, even though the tank was turning, he wasn't. So the tank turned, but he turned back over. He turned our way and continued to fire at us. And then it was, but the tank was going so fast that it looked like the tank was on 3 wheels. And I remember thinking, how in the world is it going that fast? So he's shooting fast. He's shooting all the tear gas and whatever else there was at us really, really fast and really, really hard. That's how it sounded. It just kept coming. And then you're hearing the rubber bullets coming at you, so you're trying not to get in the way of that. And then I turn and I see him turn. He's tilting because he's on 3 wheels. But then it's like, I still got you, steady firing. And I just remember just being in disbelief because I had never seen that before. And I was saying to myself, he is doing a tear gas drive-by. Never seen this before. They followed us, yes, but they stayed on the street, on the main thoroughfare, not coming up again, up chasing us up side streets. There was another young lady who she was having an asthma attack, and the medics were attending to her. She was laid out on the ground. There were about 6 people around her, two medics and some other bystanders, some other protesters. And the tank came up and just shot directly at them. The lady was already having an asthma attack and just shot the tear gas at everybody, people who had tear gas and stuff all in their face. They had, I mean, it was just something like I'd never seen. And I remember a couple older gentlemen that lived right there, either on that street or the next street, and they were saying, "Oh my God, I can't believe this. This looks like the war. Man, do you remember this in the war? This looks like the war. I just can't believe this in my own home. This is like the war, man. Remember when we were there?" They just kept going back and forth saying that. And it was something to hear that they felt like this right here that's going on right now reminds them of the war in Vietnam. And we're right here on American soil in front of their homes. We are not terrorists. We did not hurt anyone. We were not the shooter. We did not kill anyone. Never once did we touch a police officer. But we're being treated as terrorists, exercising our right to protest something that was unjust, something that was not right, something that could have gone a different way, especially when so many white men, especially that have been apprehended safely, white men who have literally fought the police, pulled guns on the police, and they have been apprehended safely. And then you say that this young man, you allege that this young man pulled a gun. And so that was the justification for killing him. And I have a problem with big time. And the reason why I have a problem with that is whether the person did, and I know all the police supporters and the police are just really going to have a field day with this, and I know you're not going to like what I have to say, but it's okay because it's my show. It's grounded. So I'm going to say how I feel. This is my truth. My truth is, I don't care if the person was right or if the person was wrong. Death takes someone's life. You have become that person's judge. And I feel like we have no right to that. Because first of all, we didn't give the life. How dare we take it? Number one, especially when we know that there is another way. That's the other thing, because we know there is another way, because it's shown that there's another way. We've seen it. Now, people say, why will you still go out? Why do you protest when the person was in the wrong? Well, and I don't believe Mansour was in the wrong. I don't believe it at all. I believe the other reports that all of that stuff was a lie, and I've talked to family and I've seen some other things, so I don't believe any of that's going on in the media about this young man and by the police. So I believe that that's all lies to justify their actions. But if I look back at my own life and I think about the things that I did back then, when I was 18, 19, 20, around that age, up to 25, about up to 25. When I think about those things, I did some horrible things, some horrible, horrible things, things that I'm not proud of, things that I wish I would have never done, things that I can't take back. I have people who are still walking out what I did to them back then, and I've moved on with my life. I made some terrible decisions. But did that mean that I deserve death? Did I deserve death because I made bad choices? Because the other thing is this. God didn't turn his back on me. So I can't turn my back on these young people that some of whom are making bad choices. Because the thing is, God used what I did back then. He used all of those rocks that I was making. I have this quarry full of rocks. God has turned that thing around and used those rocks in my quarry. For the woman that I am today, I'm able to speak about that now, and I can be empathetic, I can be sympathetic, I can be compassionate with these young people, and older people about what's going on, what they may or may not have done, because I don't see myself as better than them. I remember being them. So God didn't turn his back on me, but he used that, and he's turned me into the person he desired that I become. many years later. I didn't have a desire to live past 21. I just wanted to make it to 21. That was my life goal. I remember being 18 thinking, yeah, after I make 21, I don't care what happens. And I meant that. That was the type of life I was living. I didn't care. I was living a dangerous life. So if any of these young people, where the police have said, well, they pulled a gun or they shot or blah, 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 all of that. Now, I'm not saying people need to go killing the police. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that it's okay to kill a police officer. What I'm saying is because we know that there is a better way to de-escalate the situations, why not use that instead of the genocide that is being allowed on our people? Because that same genocide is not happening to the white community. It's not happening at the hands of white police officers. But we've seen literally on tape, we've seen the videos of police officers actually planting guns next to the dead bodies. Remember that from last year? Earlier this year? So if that's the case, if we know those things happen, what would make me trust that when you say that this boy pulled a gun, what would make me trust that he actually did? So I'm standing with him whether he was right or whether he was wrong. I believe he was wrong. I'm right. I'm going to keep standing on that. But whether he was right or whether he's wrong, I'm going to fight for him just like I'm going to fight for the one who didn't do anything. Because his life can be changed. If he was wrong or whoever is wrong, their life can be changed if they still have it. So how dare you take it? Because when I was out there, if someone would have taken my life, I would not have affected all the people from then until now that I've affected, that God has allowed me, that God has used me to affect. I've affected change. I have been able to affect change in so many people's lives, so many families' lives. But all that would have not happened had something like that happened to me. So, yes, if that would have happened to me, I would have wanted people to hit the streets and protest. Yes, find out what happened to me. Even now, I say it and I've put it on hashtag I would never on change.org. I've put it on there. It's a petition on there. I would never kill myself. If I come up dead, I don't care if I choked on, if they say I choked on a carrot or if I had a fall or a car accident, investigate my death because I know who I am and I know that people, desire to see me not speaking out like I speak out and not out there on the street like I'm out there on the street bringing the truth, because I believe the truth needs to be told, because just because it's in mainstream media doesn't mean it's true, and the truth is a lot of what's in mainstream media is not true. Or you get that, out of the entire alphabet, A through Z, we'll give you, Q, T, maybe a U. That's what we'll give you, even though there was a whole A through Z. So for this young man, for Mansur, we're going to stand and we're going to continue to be out there for him. Now, the next day, we went back out for him. The following day, we went back out. And then on Friday, Friday, the autopsy report came out. And this autopsy report stated that he was shot from the back, that there, it was a single shot that killed him, entering through his back. So, of course, that raised more questions. Red flags went up all over the place because this young man now, when they were the first reports that were saying that he had pulled the gun on the officer and he was, about to fire something at the officer, and the officer ended up firing first, that kind of comes against those reports because his back was turned. So he had his back to the officer. So how was he doing exactly what was said that he was supposed to have done? He was shot in the back. So the expectation was that the protesters would go out and really do some stuff. They were really going to just do some crazy stuff and burn down St. Louis. So there was a press conference. Chief Dotson, St. Louis City Metropolitan Police, he
said that, you know, they were calling in, I believe he said the Missouri National Guard. And I believe, I'm not 100%, but I think I remember him saying that in the press conference, and that the police officers were put on 12-hour shifts again, like they were put on before, around the time when the announcement regarding Darren Wilson and the Mike Brown case was being announced, and then also those first couple months after Mike Brown's murder. So they were put back on 12-hour shifts, and he said that they could not take vacation because he felt like things were really going to escalate that night. There were also reports that circulated saying that there was an order that went out from him saying any protesters doing anything in the St. Louis City area would be immediately taken down, that they would be, and to use blunt, harsh force. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's just what was being circulated. That's what we were told. But as it turned out, we all went out there. We went out there to support that family. It was not about Chief Dotson. It was not about the police. It was about that family. So we went out there. We took care of the family. We loved on the family. And it had to be, I don't know, a couple hundred of us just out there, just spending time with them. You know, it was a community moment. It was not about anything else. And we were out there. We took care of them. There were clergy out there praying. People were chanting, but it was a solemn mood. So nothing happened, and then we all went home. So I guess it was a disappointment for some because they had to work extra shifts and nothing happened. But so now, in the meantime, around the same time that all of this started, there was a young baby. Her name is Jamila Bolden. She was killed in Ferguson. At the time of her death, she was doing her homework. The reports say she was laying on her grandmother's bed. Some reports say mother. Some reports say grandmother. She was laying on the bed doing homework when shots rang out and killed her. Her mother was shot in the leg, and she was immediately killed. So that was devastating to the community as well. The baby, she was just a baby, and someone obviously took it upon themselves to take her out. Right, and I don't know who, we still don't know who the target was. Of course, it was not her, we would hope, but even yet, and still, she's gone. The community did rally around the family, has still continued to rally around this family and to try to love on them. It's just a sad, sad situation because instead of being able to really come together for her, for really trying to start division by saying, you all are doing all of this to Mansur. What are you going to do for Jamila? And our response was, oh, we're going to do the same. We're going to be there for her as well. When it's time to march, we're going to march for her. You know, but to try to say that you're not doing enough for her, but you're doing all of this for him because it was a police killing is sad, because one thing that I want people to understand is the protesters are small. We're a small group. We're a small group of people doing a lot of different things. We're doing so much. You have the same group of people that when there is gun violence, we're going to those families, we're going to those homes, we're trying to help, we're raising money, we're giving money out of our pockets. We are talking with funeral homes, trying to help make arrangements. We're buying clothing and all kind of stuff for the family to help them get through that moment, killing after killing. We're working with the victims of The families of the victims of police brutality, police violence. We're working with those families as well. We're still protesting. Then we have the other things that we're working on. People think that as a protester, that's all we do is protest, but it's not. We have programs that we have in existence that we're working on. We have programs that we've started. We have several initiatives that are going on, some of which are very successful, that we're working. So on top of that, on top of our personal lives, on top of having some of us having jobs, you know, we're still doing that. And so when people say, well, you all aren't doing enough for this particular person, this particular situation, it's sad, because what we say is, if we're not doing enough, then you do it. You do it and invite us, and we'll come and help. But it's only a few of us. You know, we can't do everything for everyone. But we wanted to make sure we were there for her. We still are. There have been several. There have been vigils. There have been marches for her, fundraisers. As a matter of fact, their fundraisers started, and then we received word that the head of the St. Louis Cardinals, his wife, made a decision to pay for the funeral for this young baby. And so that did help out a lot, because now the funds that are being raised can help the family with some other expenses, you know, unforeseeable things, you know, because regardless of what jobs they have, you can't go to work and you just lost your baby. You know, how do you pay the bills? The money that's being raised now is going toward that. There is a GoFundMe for that baby. And I think it's, you can look it up online, especially if you just Google and type in Jamyla Bolden. It's Bolden. It's Jamyla Bolden. And you should be able to find her GoFundMe that way. It says Help Our Angel. It doesn't have her name on it, but it says Help Our Angel. And so, like, as a matter of fact, right now, I'm at a local bar. They are having a fundraiser for her tonight. There are several people. It's a nice turnout. It's been going on since 7 p.m. It is currently after 9, close to 10 o'clock here in St. Louis right now. So it's about another hour. It's going till about 11. So people are here just coming here to just support. And actually, this bar that is having this event was one of the businesses that almost closed. And actually, I thought it was closed. I didn't realize that they were back open, because when everything happened back in August last year, the police used the lot where this bar is. It's in a shopping center. The police used this lot as command center. So there were so many police cars and tanks and everything on this lot. Plus, there was a media section. So there were the big satellite trucks and everything from all over the country. There were media from all over the world. And you had the Missouri, the Highway Patrol, you had the different municipality police, you had St. Louis County, you had St. Louis City, then you had the National Guard all on this lot. And so nobody wanted to shop here. Nobody wanted to come on the lot. So they closed for a while because they were saying that they lost so much business. They were a new black-owned business, and they didn't have business because nobody wanted to come anywhere near this place because of what was posted up. And they were here for days upon days upon days. They didn't leave. So anyway, but it's good to see that they're still open. So they're the ones hosting this on tonight. I'm looking around to see if I see anyone that may be able to take a minute to speak to you all about this event. Just a reminder, this was a 9-year-old baby who had a full life ahead of her, and so her life was taken, and the police are still looking for her killer or killers. There is a reward the last time I looked, and the reward was up to $11,000 to find, you know, this killer. So if anyone has any information, if you've heard anything, just seen something on, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know, Snapchat, whatever, if you've seen something that may be of use, please contact St. Louis City Police. Not St. Louis City Police, Ferguson Police Department, about this young baby. And I know that with her vigil, it was something to see that some of the Ferguson police officers came out and they were part of the vigil. He cried and cried at her vigil. And that police officer is probably the only police officer on that entire force that people, that the protesters will talk to. So that was something to see. I'm trying to enter into this, into the bar. Looks like people are pretty emotional right now. People that are standing outside. I think it's kind of it's a scene. So I'm gonna hold off a minute on asking someone if they would like to speak, because I do want to respect what their grief, this moment of grieving here, and people are grieving right here in front of this bar. Let's see. So do we have any callers right now? You can definitely call in. I will take your calls. We can talk about what's going on. I can clear up something for you if you have any questions. And one thing that I will not do is, if I don't know, I'll say I don't know. And let me say this too. We don't hate police officers. Let me just make that clear with everyone. The protesters, we don't hate police. Now, you will hear some people do. I mean, they're very vocal about saying FTP. Some people, you know, stand on that, but protesters and non-protesters. But it doesn't mean that they hate the police. They hate what is happening by way of the police. So I have never heard one protester say, "I hate the police." Because the truth is, if there was a situation, and like for me, when I'm at work, I have to call on the police, even though I don't want to. When I'm at work, there have been times I've had to call on the police just because certain things were out of my control and I needed help. It's only me, so I needed some help, you know. We've had to call, I mean, just different situations, you may have to call on the police. So no one is saying that they hate them. We just want to see the police do their jobs the same way they would do for other races, do it the same for everyone. And not only that, use the techniques that you're taught. You know, I'm trained in to de-escalate, and so that's what I do. And I try my best to do it the way that I was taught, and to tweak it for the situation. And so that's all we expect the police to do, because if I have someone on my staff who's not ready, if they can't, if whatever they're taught to do, if that technique, if they haven't mastered it, then they can't go out and they can't work in that area. I can't put them there. I can't trust them to do that. I can't trust them to keep our patients safe if they're not ready. So I think the same thing should go for the police officers.
Thank you so much, Pastor Corey. This is Beverly Black Johnson. And first, I want to thank you for hosting your show, Grounded, on Tribe Family Channel, and for bringing us a transparent report and account of what you're witnessing and right there at Ground Zero, struggling with in terms of the movement, in terms of Black Lives Matter, in terms of the memorial back when you started your show for Mike Brown, and the ongoing that we did not anticipate we didn't anticipate more deaths, and especially not a 9-year-old. But since you started your show, there's been like 4 deaths right there. And it is just very sad. It's very disheartening. And it's beyond the police doing their job. It's the police removing racism and blatant hatred and genocidal activity from their job. So it's a huge separation in terms of being capable of doing the job and then some of the police force that actually go above and beyond with lethal force in times when it's unnecessary or when someone has hidden, you know, their crime behind their badge. And then there's this code of silence that follows with some of the officers, and not all of the officers, but the ones who do it, they know who they are. And those are the ones that this applies to. So let me ask you this. There are some callers on the line. They're listening by preference. So I will definitely pose a question. Our hearts and thoughts go out to the families of both the individuals that you mentioned, the young man and the dear, precious young lady, little girl growing up to be a young lady, and her life being cut short like this. We grieve with the family. I wanted to ask you, how many people are out there that you can ascertain right there at the fundraiser? And has the person or persons responsible, has anyone, has there been any possible suspects named? Because we're not getting the mainstream news.
No suspects as far as I know. I tried to check some reports, no names. The reward still stands. Sitting here at this bar, looks like it's about maybe about 50 or 60 people in there. I tried to go in, but the music is just so loud that I wouldn't be able to hear, and you wouldn't be able to hear me. So everybody has now moved into the bar. So I won't go in there.
Right. Well, we just definitely wanted to have the report. We can definitely feel the emotion behind the gathering, and we don't want to hold you up. We want you to go inside and be able to offer, you know, the support that you're there. And the ministry that comes at times like these where people all come together and remember that it's all about, you know, the human love. You know, it's not about color. It's not about race. It's not about ethnicity. You know, it's about, you know, human life, you know, and it doesn't get any more raw than the truth. The fact that, you know, staying alive, in these type of conditions has escalated and continues to be prevalent on this land since colonialism and before that, but since the European has stepped on this land, there's been this ongoing genocidal European pro-white supremacist continued behavior that seeks to continue to enslave people. The revolution will not be televised. It's live. Tribe Family Channel, y'all. Thank you, Pastor Corey, and God bless you. Been listening. Go ahead.
You said you had some callers. I can take some callers before I...
They haven't raised their hands. If any of you callers that are on want to raise your hand, I see some of your numbers on the studio, but you're listening and laid back, and I can understand that. It is a solemn situation, and so that is understandable, and I think that's kind of the mood and the tone with the ones that are tuned in, just kind of wanting that update, and just, you know, really standing in unified, standing, you know, unified with all of you in the struggle. And it's our struggle. It's not, you know, a Ferguson, St. Louis thing. It is definitely Black Lives Matter, and it is definitely a civil rights movement on another level, and it is definitely a revolution. There is no other way to put it. So,
well, thank you.
And thank you, and thank you. And we'll be looking forward to your second episode of Grounded. Your breaking news comes at any time that we can get you, because of your activism, evangelism, and being right there on location at Ground Zero, Ferguson, St. Louis, Missouri. So we want to thank you and ask God to continue to cover you and all of you that are down there fighting and supporting and loving on each other. And, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to the family.
Yes, yes, yes. And if you, you can definitely follow me on Twitter at Pastor underscore Corey, so it's PS underscore CORI. You can also check me out. I'm a part of the Truth Telling Project, so it's truthtellingproject.org. And I'm on Facebook. It's Corey Bush, CORIBUSH. It used to be Pastor Corey Bush, but they Facebook made me change my name. They blocked me and then made me change my name. So that's what it is now. So get at me if you have some questions, if you want to connect with me, you have the way to contact me.
And definitely, definitely visit tribefamilychannel.com and stay tuned for more updates from Grounded with Corey, Pastor Corey Bush. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you for tuning in. Pastor Corey, we thank God for you, and we ask that you continue to stay strong in the struggle.
Yes, thank God for you. Amen. Have a good night, everyone.
Amen. Good night.
Tribe Family Channel. Oh, voices of wisdom.